listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Monday.
Yay.
Post rally week.
It's Thanksgiving week.
It is Thanksgiving week. Lots of festivities going on this week.
Food. Lots of food.
Some traveling as well. We do have some later in the week. We have some In Case You Missed It episodes to share with you. While
some of our favorites.
Yeah, some of our favorites from 2018.
Yeah.
From the inaugural year of the Coffee Hour.
Yeah.
And excited to share them with you. But there are some really exciting things coming up here in the Midwest. If you are in our listening audience here in Missouri, particularly in Southeast Missouri.
And Illinois, too, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Southern Illinois,
our
Illinois,
St.
Louis area. That's right. I'm so sorry I neglected you, my dear friends, especially my former congregation in Millstadt.
No.
I love you all. And I am so excited to share with you an outstanding music event. It is my all-time favorite during the Christmas season. Well, year-round, too. I love the Easter portion of this as well.
It is really good.
Yes.
I think that's my favorite part to sing.
So have I given it away totally?
Maybe. It's
okay.
Hashtag Music Monday, too.
It is.
We like those.
So good stuff. Some great music that we're going to talk about today, because we like talking about music here on the Coffee Hour. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at CUW. Joining us by phone this morning, Dr. Barbara Lamont. She is the Director of Choral Activities and Assistant Professor of Music Education at Southeast Missouri State. Just a hop, skip, and a jump down I-55 from here. Dr. Lamont, thanks so much for joining us today. Excited to share about some upcoming events.
Thank you for having me. Really great to be with you this morning.
The upcoming event that I am so excited about, and I wish I could be there. I can't make it, but I am there. My heart is there with you. Upcoming presentation of the Christmas portion of Handel's oratorio, The Messiah.
Yeah.
Yay.
And now everyone has it in their head.
Yes, the Hallelujah chorus, absolutely, and some other, and I believe some Haydn as well from the symphony there as well, sharing some great music at that same concert in the evening. Tell us, let's talk about George Friedrich Handel, his impact on music education today. Not only your director of choral activities, but assistant professor of music education, sharing in that formation of future music educators. How has Handel been a part of your formation as a music educator, and how does that impact your formation of future music educators?
Sure. Well, I actually, I think I'm a little bit unique. I didn't have much exposure to this particular oratorio until I got to graduate school. Uh-huh. So I went to a Lutheran school, actually, and we had a Christmas festival, but we didn't usually do a major work at Christmas time. So I didn't really do a full section of Messiah until I was in graduate school at Michigan State. And then I did it again when I was at Texas Tech for my doctorate. And I think that people who have sort of heard it or sung it a few times, it kind of can get stale. And I just was so thrilled as a 30-year-old grad student to be able to finally know this piece and to get to dig into it. And it's just, there's just so much as far as emotions and really true Baroque style that we see in this oratorio, all different kinds of sequences and very characteristic things that were happening in the Baroque period that are, I wouldn't say easy. So I think that some people think that we've got like Bach and we've got Handel during the Baroque period, and Bach is like the hard one and Handel is the easy one, and that's definitely not true. But I think that often Handel is a little bit more clear cut than Bach is. I think that Handel is awesome to sing with young singers, because it's got some very clear things that you can note in the score as far as these things like sequences, which are parts of the music that repeat in different keys. I think Handel is very logical, and it is it gives you a lot as a musician to latch onto as far as predicting what's happening in the future of the piece, and really honing things like sight reading skills. So for me, I think it's important for our music education students to be singing and also playing, that we have music ed students who are in the orchestra as well, this music, because it has lasting impact just as clear simple in some places, music that really exemplifies the Baroque period and all of the style characteristics therein.
Yeah, you have a point there. I grew up listening to it, but I didn't sing it for the first time until last year, and I was expecting to... I know!
I'm shocked!
Right? And I was expecting to be like, oh, I'm a soprano, so I'm like, I'll just sight read it, whatever. It was a lot harder than I expected.
The Messiah is a workout. It is a workout.
It is a huge workout for me, for the players, for the singers, and it's a grand and glorious workout. And it actually, I think that people think that Baroque music is stuffy, and that it's because they hear all of these notes. And if you look at on the page of Baroque music, it's like, oh my goodness. Even if you're a seasoned musician, you look at the page and you go, oh my goodness. But once you really get into it, you kind of get into a groove, and Baroque music is really groovy.
It is.
It really is. And I think that it's actually quite fun and exciting to sing. And once you kind of get the grooves going on, I think it is a workout, but once you work on it a while, it comes a little bit more easily. Definitely.
It's definitely fun. And you mentioned Bach, which is one of my favorites. And we just talked about cantatas a little while ago, and I was just like 2 nights ago, I was like, what is the difference between a cantata and an oratorio? Because the form seems really similar. So what for those of us who don't know, what exactly is an oratorio?
Sure. An oratorio, in the very simplest version of a description, could be an opera without staging. That's often how it's presented. So oratorios were actually first conceived because opera had become something popular, and the church, and actually just many of the population, believed that it was not appropriate for people to be listening to and seeing opera during Lent. So they decided to take the same sorts of techniques that they were using in opera, so arias, and recitative, which are for solo singers, and then choruses as well, and to put sacred subjects and to have them not be staged. So they were concert performances of pieces that had often a biblical subject. And so they often have a plot. This one in particular is distinctive because it does not have a plot per se. Of course, those of us who have this faith tradition know that it does technically have a plot, but it's not something that we would be necessarily staging on stage with costumes and that sort of thing. So an oratorio gives us some sort of sacred text. It has arias and recitatives by soloists, sometimes duets and trios, and then it's got choruses as well. And this particular oratorio has its text taken directly from the Bible, which was also not something that was often done at the time. Usually it was a text that had a sacred subject, but that had different words written to it about the subject, but they weren't taken directly from the Bible. But Messiah's texts are taken directly from Scripture. So this was something that was different than what had been going on at the time, actually.
So Handel's Messiah, an oratorio, actually rather long. An oratorio is quite lengthy, and most of us are probably more familiar with the Christmas portion of this oratorio. But it really covers a lot more than the Christmas portion if you were to ever present the oratorio in its entirety. Have you ever done that? Have you ever sung the entire oratorio?
I have not, and I actually have never sung the second and third parts, but I've studied them in conducting classes before, and I know that that's often how it is presented, is the Christmas portion, and then often people do the second and third part separate. I think that doesn't come around quite as much, but it's got some amazing music in the second and third portions as well. That might be on the horizon for us here at Southeast while I'm here, for us to do that next part too, but I have not personally done it.
If you ever do the full oratorio, I'll order some pizzas and come sit and listen for the whole thing, man.
That would be fun.
That would be... Oh, wait, is that inappropriate to bring pizzas to listening to the Messiah? I think that might be wrong.
You know what? I don't think so. I think that's your strength. As long as I can have some pizza too in the break between the 1 and 2 and 3, that would be great with me.
Well, you have a presentation of the Christmas portion of the Messiah coming up Tuesday, November December 27th, and that's at 7:30 p.m. Give us some of the details about this this presentation.
Sure. So we the concert is presented by the Southeast Missouri Symphony, as well as the University Choir and the Choral Union. So the symphony is made up of mostly students, and then we also have community members and some other folks from out of town who come in and play with us for that. And then the University Choir is made up of music majors and also a few non-music majors who they auditioned for our program, and this is our top choir here at Southeast. And then the Choral Union is primarily a community group that also has some students in it, and that's folks from the greater community here in Southeast Missouri. There are music teachers. There are people who have never studied music at all in their life but just like to sing, people who are church choir members, people who are school counselors and that sort of thing. And so we should have about 110 folks singing on stage with the orchestra. And our voice faculty are going to be singing the solos. We are fortunate to have one of each on our faculty, so we've got that covered, and we're really excited to hear them sing as well. And then the performance is actually going to start with just the symphony. They are going to present Haydn's London Symphony. So Dr. Sarah Edgerton, our orchestra director, is going to be conducting that. And then the second half of the show is our presentation of Christmas portion of Messiah with the full gamut of choir and orchestra. I'll be conducting that. And we will end with Hallelujah Chorus, even though it's not technically part of the Christmas portion. That's a tradition that is usually tacked on to the end there. So we're excited to present that to the public.
Absolutely. Do we need to get tickets in advance for this event?
It is probably a good idea for you to get tickets in advance. You can go to rivercampus.org. That's where you can get tickets online. Our box office number is 573-651-2265. That's the box office. It's super easy to do it online as well, and the tickets are $16 and $19, and that just depends on where you sit in the hall. But I would encourage you, if you've never been to our wonderful Bedell Performance Hall, it is a really, really exceptional performance facility, and every seat is good, really. So I would suggest getting tickets in advance, definitely, because I'm hoping that we will get pretty close to selling out this show.
Outstanding. Dr. Barbara Lamont, Director of Choral Activities, Assistant Professor of Music Education at Southeast Missouri State, about the upcoming performance of Handel's Messiah, the Christmas portion of Handel's Messiah, November 27th at Southeast Missouri State. We'll provide the link as well to that, so you can get tickets in advance. Thank you so much, Dr. Lamont, for being our guest and helping us prepare for the season as well. Fantastic music. Thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.